Let's turn back now to the book of Ezekiel. And to Ezekiel chapter 2. Sermon text this evening will be Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 1 through to chapter 3 and verse 15. After three sermons and about 2 months in Ezekiel chapter 1, we press forward this evening beyond that extraordinary vision of chapter 1. And so let's now attend to God's word, Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 and following. And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God. And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, be not afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. And you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when I looked, behold, a hand was stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. And he spread it before me, and it had writing on the front and on the back. And there were written on it words of lamentation and mourning and woe. And he said to me, Son of man, eat whatever you find here. Eat this scroll, and go, speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he gave me this scroll to eat. And he said to me, Son of man, feed your belly with this scroll that I give you, and fill your stomach with it. Then I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. And he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of foreign speech and a hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many peoples of foreign speech and a hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I sent you to such, they would listen to you. But the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me. Because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery, harder than flint, have I made your forehead. Fear them not, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak to you, receive in your heart, and hear with your ears, and go to the exiles, to your people, and speak to them, and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear. And then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me the voice of a great earthquake. Blessed be the glory of the Lord from its place. It was the sound of the wings of the living creatures as they touched one another, and the sound of the wheels beside them, and the sound of a great earthquake. The Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit, the hand of the Lord being strong upon me. And I came to the exiles at Tel Aviv, who were dwelling by the Kabar Canal, and I sat where they were dwelling, and I sat there overwhelmed among them 7 days. Let's pray together. Lord God Almighty, we pray that your Spirit would be upon us. We pray, Father, that you would bless us, that as we attend to your word, we would hear the voice of Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, calling us to himself. We pray, Father, that the Spirit would set us upon our feet and open our ears to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would embrace his gospel, that we would take his words into our hearts. That we would not be rebellious to his voice. We pray, Father, that you would accomplish these things in our lives for the glory of our Savior, in whose blessed and exalted name we do pray. Amen. We move on this evening from the powerful vision of the glory of the Lord that Ezekiel witnesses in chapter 1 to now the call of Ezekiel in chapter 2. And in so doing, we realize that in Ezekiel's immediate context, that overwhelming audio-visual experience of the glory of the Lord there in chapter 1 served a particular purpose. And that purpose was to prepare Ezekiel for his prophetic ordination. And it was to prepare him by radically humbling him and overwhelming him with a sense of God's majesty and holiness. So it was for many other prophets in their prophetic ordination. And so it is really for anyone, for that matter, any one of us who would desire to be a useful instrument in the hands of the Master. We must have a sense of God's majesty and God's holiness that is radically humbling. We must have that sense of his infinite majesty and holiness that borders on overwhelming. Isaiah chapter 66, "But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit, and who trembles at my word." It is one of the divine ironies that it is when we feel most unworthy in God's presence that at that precise moment, in fact, God finds us to be most worthy in the service of his kingdom. And so the Lord brings Ezekiel low, that he might lift him up and appoint him to service in the kingdom of God. In response to the extraordinary vision of the pre-incarnate glory of the Son of God, Ezekiel is driven flat on his face. We see that there at the end of chapter 1. "And when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard the voice of one speaking." Falling upon his face, the Lord now speaks to Ezekiel. The Spirit enters into Ezekiel and sets him on his feet, and the Lord tells Ezekiel about the mission and the ministry that he is being commissioned now to undertake. Ezekiel is being called to bring God's words to a rebellious people. Israel is described here as impudent and stubborn nations of rebels. And the consistent emphasis of Ezekiel's call is that his task will be to speak God's words. To speak God's words to this rebellious nation, and to speak God's words in an unadulterated fashion. And this task is further emphasized by the symbolic act that the Lord commands Ezekiel to undergo. God gives to Ezekiel a scroll with writing on the front and on the back with words of lamentation and mourning and woe. And he commands Ezekiel to eat the scroll. A test of obedience to his will. And Ezekiel obeys, and the taste becomes as sweet as honey in his mouth. Ezekiel was called by God to bring a hard message to a hard-hearted people. And God's command to him is clear. Be not afraid. Be not rebellious. Speak my words. Whether they hear or whether they refuse to hear. And we see that Ezekiel is, frankly, dismayed by his calling. He sits by the Kabar Canal for 7 days, overwhelmed at what God has just called him to do. It is not a happy calling. He has an incredibly rough road ahead of him, as we will see. A rough road as God's prophet called to speak God's words to a rebellious people. And yet God has promised to be with him, and God has promised to strengthen him. And now, having briefly overviewed what Ezekiel has experienced here in his prophetic commission, the question that we must now face is, how are we to apply this text to our own experience? In many different ways, our present experience is very different from that of Ezekiel and the church during the Babylonian captivity. What value then does this passage have for our own present day New Covenant experience? Well, we'll speak this evening about two separate lines of application, two different trajectories of application that we find in our text. But first, let's be honest and admit that if our tendency is to read ourselves into biblical passages, then certainly in this passage, our tendency is to read ourselves into Ezekiel's place. I doubt it would be the reflex of very many people in the church to read themselves into the place of rebellious, impudent, stubborn, hard-hearted Israel. Our tendency, and I might add our self-righteous tendency, is to somewhat unthinkingly and reflexively read ourselves into the most positive elements of whatever biblical text we happen to be reading. And it is certainly my sincere hope that none of us occupy the exact position of rebellious, unbelieving Israel as we find her here in our text. May it be that truly all of us have yielded that spirit-wrought obedience of faith to the living God. However, no one reading this text, No one reading this text should unthinkingly or reflexively assume that they have zero identification with rebellious Israel. Instead, everyone reading this text should be stopped dead in their tracks by the example of Israel, the cautionary tale of Israel. Everyone reading this passage should be silenced and humbled and reminded of the natural condition of their own hearts. Our brothers and sisters, we should be reminded by this text that our hearts, apart from the grace of God, are hopelessly rebellious and impudent and stubborn and hardened. But apart from God's grace, all of us, without exception, all of us are evil, unbelieving, rebellious Israel, with their backs turned to the living God. And just as it was nothing but His own love and His own grace that compelled the Lord to send Ezekiel to rebellious Israel, so it has been for us. It has been nothing but His own love and His own grace that compelled the Father to send His only begotten Son to rebellious us. And so before we can think for a moment about how we might be an Ezekiel figure to someone we know, we must first praise God for sending His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the greater Ezekiel, the greater Son of Man, that great prophet of prophets, for all who would believe in His name and in His gospel. Just as we saw so much of the glory of the eternal Son of God in chapter 1, we see now so much of the glory of the incarnate Son of God here in chapter 2, through Ezekiel's prophetic call. Remember with me, what is the consistent emphasis of Ezekiel's prophetic call? Ezekiel, give them my words. Whether they hear or refuse to hear, give them my words. Speak to them my words. Make my will known to them. And what was the supreme emphasis of the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, to answer that question, I actually like us to read through a handful of passages, all of which are from the Gospel of John. So turn with me now to the Gospel of John. And let's simply allow Jesus to give to us in His own words the supreme emphasis of His earthly ministry. We'll begin in John chapter 17. John chapter 17, and look with me at verse 8. Speaking to the Father, Jesus prays, I have given them the words that you gave me. And then verse 14, the same chapter, I have given them your word. Turn back now to John chapter 15. Look with me there at verse 15. All that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. A little farther back, turn with me now to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and look with me there at verse 26. He who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from Him. Verses 28 and 29, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as my Father taught me. And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him." Again, chapter 8, now verses 42 through 43. "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but He sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word." Verse 46. "Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." And then, if there's any doubt, perhaps one last passage from John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verses 44 through 50. "And Jesus cried out and said, 'Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Jesus Christ, the greater Ezekiel, the greater Son of Man, sent by the Father to reveal God's will for our salvation, whether we hear or refuse to hear. What is it that Jesus says was the supreme emphasis of his ministry? "I am giving you the words of my Father. I am giving you the words of my Father. I am giving you the words of my Father. Whether you hear or refuse to hear, I have been sent by my Father to reveal to you the gracious will of God for the salvation of mankind." Brothers and sisters, it's a little bit of the older brother in us, the self-righteous older brother, that leads us to see ourselves in Ezekiel's place before we see, first and foremost, Jesus in Ezekiel's place, and us in the place of the rebellious. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is the greater Ezekiel, the prophet of prophets, the greatest revelator of God's will to mankind. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Hebrews chapter 1. And so first and foremost, let us praise God for sending us and for speaking to us by His Son. Praise God for the one who said to His disciples, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me." And praise God for softening our rebellious hearts, our impudent, stubborn, hardened hearts, by the Holy Spirit, that we might hear the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and believe and be saved. Our first line of application has respect simply to our own response to the voice of Jesus Christ, speaking by His Spirit in the Word of God, calling us to the obedience of faith. Because even after the Spirit goes to work in our hearts in regeneration and in sanctification, yet in this life there is a rebel that lives in our flesh. There is a rebel that yet dwells within us, and we need then continually, daily, to prostrate our spirits before the throne of grace, pleading for the work of the Holy Spirit to humble us and to soften us and to make us receptive to the will of our blessed Savior. And along with that, we need also to continually remember that Jesus Christ, the greater Son of Man, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David, has conquered. And even now He lays His hand on us and says to us, as He spoke to the Apostle John, "Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." And then after, we as the church have so humbled ourselves before the Lord Jesus Christ, then yes, absolutely, the church must then self-consciously and rigorously seek to replicate the pattern of Jesus' earthly ministry in our own service to the kingdom of God. Like our blessed Savior, and speaking in His blessed name, we too now need to give people God's word and God's message. We need to fervently pray that the Spirit of Christ that was in Ezekiel, enabling and empowering him to speak as God's ambassador, would also be in us as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, enabling us and empowering us to speak as true disciples of the Lord Jesus, bearing good news to mankind. And so as we turn to our second line of application, after having identified as we should with rebellious Israel, who has received from the Lord the testimony of the greater Ezekiel, then yes, now the second line of application is for us to seek to live for the glory of Christ and to use our mouths to testify to the grace of Christ to those who do not know the gospel. And as we seek to do so, our text is clear. There are two preeminent things that we need. We need God's Spirit, and we need God's Word. God's Spirit and God's Word. If we labor without God's Spirit, we labor in vanity and in futility. And if we labor without God's Word, we labor in darkness and in error. And like Ezekiel, when we bear God's words to those around us, we need to be prepared for rejection. Like Ezekiel, when we take the message of God, the gospel of God, to our neighbors, we are very often met with, well, polite disdain at best, and at worst, all the violent opposition and fury that the world can muster to throw. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, "For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life." God's message, God's gospel, is the fragrance of death to death for those who have hardened their hearts in rebellion against Christ. And when we speak that message, people will try to change the message. They'll try to ignore the message or drown out the message. And if those things fail, They will turn upon the messenger. They will belittle, intimidate, harm, or even destroy the messenger. Anything to get that aroma of death to death away from them. And so there will be times when we ourselves, as Ezekiel needed, we ourselves will need foreheads like emery, harder than flint. I remember quite vividly the first time that I had to publicly speak about the realities of hell and of eternal damnation for those who do not believe in the name of Christ and who die in their unbelief. I was teaching an adult Sunday school class in Rochester, New York, and there had been a wedding the previous day of two members of the church, and so there was a large influx of visitors that morning. Many of the family members and friends who were at the wedding were in attendance at that Sunday school class, and I knew fairly well that many of them were unbelievers. And I remember feeling less than confident and bold in the proclamation of God's message of eternal punishment for those who die in their unbelief. And I had to steel myself. I had to say to my own heart, Alex, these things are true and these people need to hear them. No matter what their response may be to this message, they need to hear these things. And so you need to open your mouth and speak these truths. And I'm sure the words weren't the most well put together, but God was faithful to give me strength to speak. Our brothers and sisters, we have a message to deliver to mankind. And the Lord would have us to communicate this message in absolutely unadulterated fashion. No matter how tempting it may be for us to adulterate it, to water it down, to make it more palatable to sinful man. Many have done this. Many have succumbed to the temptation to adulterate the message, to make it more palatable. But brothers and sisters, that is not an option for us. Now, Jesus bids his church, as he bid Ezekiel, go out into the world, go to your neighbors, go to your communities, and say to them, thus says the Lord God. Whether they hear or refuse to hear. And Ezekiel's prophetic call also reminds us, and reminds us forcefully, that the calling of the church is not fruitfulness, but rather faithfulness. It is not ours to bear fruit. We simply have no power to do so. It is ours to be faithful to the message. It is ours simply to be faithful to God's words, to God's message. And it is then God's to bear fruit, where and when He is pleased to do so. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. The church has been given a great and daunting task. God has ordained that the world will not truly know the eternal states of this life unless we, the church, make it known to them in the preaching of the gospel. And this task falls upon the ministers of the gospel first and foremost. But it falls upon every one of us as well, that as the Lord would grant opportunity, that we would pray that the Lord might use us to testify of the eternal life that is to be found in Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ alone. And so we must cleave to the Spirit for strength. We must cleave to the Word for truth. And we must leave all else to God. We must deliver God's message in God's strength, trusting God to bring success in His good timing and according to His good pleasure. Because we don't labor for success. We don't labor for numbers merely. We don't labor for the things that the world labors for. We labor for faithfulness. We labor for the smile of our Heavenly Father. Not to be people pleasers, but to be Lord pleasers, to be Yahweh pleasers. We labor to hear the sound of those words and the life that is to come. Well done, good and faithful servant. And brothers and sisters, let us never stop looking to Jesus Christ as the great and final prophet of God. We have read a number of passages from the Gospel of John, and I'd like us to end now with one more. You don't have to turn there, but remember with me that there in John chapter 6, Jesus brings a difficult message to the crowds. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. And in response to Jesus' hard and difficult teaching on this occasion, John tells us that many of His disciples turned back and no longer walked with Him. And Jesus then turns to the 12 and asks them a very pointed question. Do you want to go away as well? Well, brothers and sisters, many people become offended with the teaching of the gospel. Many people come to abandon it. Many people, when they come to realize the full scope of what the gospel asks of them, also come then to realize that in their heart of hearts they do not believe in Jesus Christ. And they leave Him. They walk away. What about you? Do you want to go away as well? There are difficult things about the gospel message. Hard things, challenging things, demanding things. Do you want to go away as well? Well, may the Spirit of God seal to our hearts and put into our mouths that blessed response of Simon Peter. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that You are the Holy One of God. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Our Heavenly Father, we praise You for Your Son. We praise You for Your Spirit, by whom we have believed and have come to know that Your Son is the Holy One of God. We praise You that You have spoken to us by Your Son, that He has revealed to our hearts by His Spirit Your will for our salvation. So, Father, let us cleave to His words. Let us cleave to His Spirit. Let us cleave to our Savior. Let us praise You. With all that is within us, let us praise You that You have so graciously revealed Yourself to us, that by Your love for us, and according to Your love for us, You have saved us. And through the work of Jesus Christ, You have saved us and brought us to Yourself. We praise You, Father. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.